DW.
Engineer Herbert Santos knocks on a panel of corrugated metal on a hut in the western part of Guatemala City. A woman opens the door smiling. Her forehead glistens in the midday heat. They laugh as they greet each other by touching elbows. Herbert Santos works for the aid organization Helps International. He steps into the dusty courtyard along with a social worker named César Puac. They're immediately surrounded by a dozen children. A moment later, their grandmother, Delfina Castillo, joins them. She starts pointing everyone out.
Doña Mila, La Toya, La Silvia, yo, La Ara, y mi hijo somos...
We all live here together. We live 8 people to a hut, 8 families. There are a lot of children. One family has 10 kids, another has 5, so does another one. My son has 2 and my daughter 4. It's a very big family.
Santos is an expert in community development. He says cramped housing conditions are common in poorer urban neighborhoods.
I see many people jammed together on a small piece of land. The rooms are about 4 by 4 meters for 7 or 8 people. This is typical for urban life in Guatemala. This area is part of a district that borders directly on the capital's downtown. It's hard to believe this poor neighborhood is so close to the city. There are animals running around everywhere, chickens, goats, and dogs. Hygiene doesn't seem to be too important.
The pandemic has stifled the economy, and Doña Delfina is very worried about her children's future.
Sometimes I go over to my daughter's. She has a TV. Watching the news makes me cry when I get home. I ask God to give us strength and watch over us so that we can at least eat a few tortillas or a sandwich during this time of crisis. The kids ask me if I can give them something, but I don't have anything. Thank God the bakery gives them some leftover bread sometimes.
Most of the families around here have a small stove for cooking. They make their meals on an open fire. Roughly half of Guatemalans cook with wood. It's also common to make fires with trash, paper or plastic. The warm smoke coming from Doña Delfina's kitchen carries large amounts of fine particles into the living room, way over the World Health Organization's recommended limit for dangerous toxins like nitrogen oxide, carbon compounds and sulfur. And that has grave consequences for their health. César Puac.
Women and children's lungs are filled with soot, but they don't see the problem. For them, it's normal to breathe in dirty air. And that, of course, leads to diseases that are particularly bad in the pandemic, a time when it's important to stay healthy. Dirty airways can't protect them from the virus.
One of Doña Delfina's grandkids is almost always suffering from a heavy cough or an eye infection. And that could lead to more serious health conditions like pneumonia, cancer or blindness. A lack of oxygen impairs brain development. Small children who are exposed to smoke for hours at a time are likely to suffer from brain damage and impaired growth for the rest of their lives. Santos transports the individual parts of 5 energy-efficient cook stoves on the loading bed of his car. Their chimneys are supposed to help avoid air pollution in the huts.
Right now, many families need this type of help, particularly during the pandemic. And it makes sense to have a chimney the smoke can escape through, which in turn helps strengthen people's immune systems.
In 2010, the United Nations launched the Global Alliance for Clean Cookstoves, which works with governments, businesses and foundations to promote safe cooking, something which is also good for the environment. The stoves Santos is taking over today were funded by the German foundation called Aktion Weltkinderhilfe, which helps children around the globe. Each stove costs about 120 euros, and the families that receive them pay about 20 euros of the total cost. The new stoves are also wood-burning, but compared to an open fire, they use about two-thirds less fuel. Doña Delfina's oldest daughter, Araceli, was already cooking on an open fire as a small girl.
One time I burned my foot. Another time I hurt my arm when I was chopping wood. We used to always go down the slope to fetch firewood.
These days there isn't any more wood to be found. There aren't any trees left in the few meadows here, and the access to the ravine is blocked off by chicken wire and signs. The bushes on the other side are supposed to be left untouched so that they can prevent the slope from eroding even more.
An armed guard scared us off recently. He warned he'd shoot if we didn't leave. Searching for wood has gotten dangerous. You can get shot over a little firewood.
The day before, Doña Delfina was given a few logs. Her granddaughter Marilyn brought them over in a wheelbarrow and stacked them next to her kitchen. But Marilyn usually buys the wood from the local store across the way for 2 quetzales apiece. That's about 20 cents. Each month, Doña Delfina and her daughter Araceli spend about 200 quetzales, the equivalent of 25 euros, on firewood. That's nearly 10% of their family income.
I can make tortillas and beans with about 10 quetzales worth of wood. Beans need a lot of wood since they take about 2 to 3 hours to cook.
Social worker Cesar Puak coordinated the installation of the 5 stoves ahead of today's delivery. Since the beginning of the pandemic, he's been taking care of the distribution of donated clothing and basic food supplies.
Me llaman que necesitan alimentos.
Right now, I get a lot of calls because someone needs food. The women tell me they have no money because their husbands lost their jobs. That can lead to the children getting sick. And when a kid is already undernourished and receiving even less food now because of the pandemic, he or she can't concentrate on studying.
Más de lo que ya está desnutrido, no va a poder mantenerse sus estudios.
At the moment, there's no end in sight. The World Health Organization's plans for the fair distribution of the vaccine, which foresaw countries paying into a common fund, has not been realized. This year, it's unlikely that anyone in this neighborhood of La Alborada will be vaccinated, and in 2022, it'll probably only be a small portion of the population. It's difficult to follow hygiene rules in these cramped quarters, and impossible to social distance. Not only is the health of these children in danger, but also their physical integrity. Abuse is on the rise. Uncles, older cousins, brothers and neighbours are out of work and are spending more time at home. Children don't have any place they can withdraw to. There's no separate place to wash, and girls don't even have their own place to sleep.
My name is Marlon and I'm 15 years old. I've been sad a lot during the crisis. A lot of my relatives live far away and we can't visit them. We always have to stay in the hut. Plus, I can't buy myself anything and my parents have a hard time putting enough food on the table.
Traigan alimentos acá.
Marlin clears away the old open fireplace to make space for the new stove. First, she moved 3 big stones covered in soot out of the kitchen, and now she's sweeping up the ashes.
We girls have to learn early on how to cook and how to make tortillas, even if we burn ourselves on open fire a lot. It's just how it is. Smoke in your throat makes you feel like you're choking.
The next thing Marlin does is to chop some logs with an axe. Her mother, Araceli, knows how dangerous cooking at fire pits can be, but she had no other alternative.
I was recently at the doctor's because my lungs hurt. He asked me if I smoked. I said no. Then he asked how my lungs could be so black. I told him it was because of cooking at the fire pit. And when there's no wood, we burn trash, plastic, anything that burns.
Doña Delfina knows that fire pits pose a danger to more than just a person's lungs.
It scares me when the little ones get too close to the fire. They stand on a stone to reach the coffee pot or something else. My daughter recently burned herself badly. Now she has a big sore on her stomach. It happened 2 or 3 days ago.
The organization Helps International also sends out teams of doctors to rural villages. Heber Santos says that burns are among the most common injuries in those areas.
It happens because people cook at an open fire. They don't realize that there are other methods that are less dangerous and that also use much less wood. But most families wouldn't be able to afford an energy-efficient stove.
Millions of open fires are used to cook meals across the world. They pollute the atmosphere with carbon dioxide and also contribute to deforestation. And all of that is also playing a role in the climate crisis. Plus, this method of cooking can cause fires to spread. Araceli recounts the time a neighbor's fire spread because she had left for a few minutes to go to the shop around the corner.
Everything had gone up in flames by the time she came back. Both of her kids were still inside. The firefighters saved the kids, but the hut burned to the ground.
Araceli eagerly watches Herbert Santos as he sets up the new stove. First, he makes a foundation for it out of 11 regular bricks. Then comes the tough part. Two of the four concrete parts are so heavy that he needs help lifting them. Herbert explains the advantages of the new stove to the family.
This stove will change the way you cook. Your hut will not be filled with smoke anymore, and you'll see your health will improve. And you'll also have more money, because you'll need to buy less firewood and less medications, because the kids will not fall sick so often. In Guatemala, the main cause of death for children under 5 is inhaling smoke from burning wood.
After the concrete parts have been set up, he moves on to the metal parts. Everything is put together in a way that makes the stove stable, but it can also be taken apart and set up somewhere else. He explains how the new stove works, and that the ash has to be removed regularly so the chimney doesn't clog. Heber Santos is convinced the stove project will have a lasting effect.
It feels good supporting families in areas where they don't otherwise receive help. We are empowering people and raising their awareness of sustainable development. But we also see how much is left to do. It's going to be a long, long road.
Marlin examines the stove. She's probably going to be the one using it the most in the next few years.
Pues, diferente a como estaba antes.
Our kitchen looks completely different. Now there won't be all those problems with the smoke. The open fire made our ceiling very dirty. The sheets of corrugated metal are black and they have lots of holes.
When it rains, water drips onto the kitchen floor. Doña Delfina has wanted to get a new roof for a long time, but she can't afford such extensive repairs.
But the stove I got today is really nice.
Para mí, para mi persona, yo nunca había tenido la oportunidad de tener esto, ni con mis otros.
I never would have gotten something like that from anyone, not even from my sons. I'm happy. It's the first time in my life I've had anything like it. Anytime free food is being given out, I always go, but usually I don't get anything. But now I have a stove in my kitchen that will be really handy for the rest of my life. And when I'm gone, my kids will continue to use it.
Herbert Santos is moved by her words.
The tears of Doña Delfina are proof of the plight of many Guatemalans. It makes me sad to see so many kids whose families don't have the basic necessities to survive.
Thank you so much. God bless you. I hope we meet again soon.
1 month later, Herbert Santos returns to the area. He stops by to see Doña Delfina and her neighbors and to check if all the stoves are working properly. Doña Delfina is content.
Now I cook everything on the stove. It's fast and uses less wood. I used to need 2 or 3 logs. Now I only need a log and a half. And when the fire has gone out, the stove holds the heat of the ashes long enough to warm up other things without needing more wood.
Her granddaughter Marlin is making tortillas, which she'll warm up on the metal plate.
The fire isn't as dangerous for the kids anymore, and the stones can't fall on their feet anymore either.
Ever since the kitchen became less smoky, social life has moved into the huts.
This table has been moved to the stove. That's where I sit with my only son, who's still alive. My son-in-law sits there, my daughter here, and I sit on a bucket. That's how we spend dinner. It makes me happy. I'm so happy when we're all together.
DW.